I think empathy is at the heart of my job. The reason being is that when you deal with human beings, either be it internal or external customers, let's call them that way, but when you deal with people, you always have to be able, and I don't know exactly what your definition of empathy is, but I would say for me, it's a capacity to put myself in the other person's shoes and see the world from their perspective. And I deal with really different, not only me, but mostly my team. We deal with really difficult issues with people who see the world in a really different way. Sometimes, unfortunately, the reality, they're a bit far away from it. So our role is to try to bring them back to see that. So, of course, empathy would be, it's a really strong tool. And I've been doing this job for almost 15 years now, more or less, with my studies and so on. It's more than 20 years, so it's more than half of my life. But that's what I discovered over the years is the people who are efficient in my line of work are not the people who hide behind the rules. They are actually people who can have relationships, who can manage to speak to people, but really, and I would say, it's like heart over head kind of approach. And these are the most efficient managers as well, because these are the people that can really relate to other people. And then after that, you know, it's then they understand the problem better, because most human problems in what I'm doing, they're coming from the heart, not from the head necessarily. I work more with directly with union representatives and employees themselves. So it's not general public in the sense that we are within an organization and I have a function to accomplish, so do they. The only time I would deal with general public would be if we receive outside complaints against our employees or mostly employees. So then I would have to deal with some people in a general public. When you're dealing with human beings, empathy, in my opinion, is the most important quality you need. Because if you don't have this capacity to put yourself in their shoes, then you stay in your shoes. And then you just, it's unidirectional. There's no communication. There's no dialogue. It's just you say something, people respond, and then you think about what you're going to say next, and the other person, you know, it's the same in relationships. It's a relationship. So empathy, I think, is at the heart of a relationship. So unless I'm working with a machine all day long, of course, I don't need empathy. You know, I'm just going to, I suppose, I need empathy with myself internally. But if I'm not in contact with other human beings, then empathy then becomes something that is useless in a practical sense. I would say the situations are really tough to show empathy is when your values are at stake. When you're confronted with someone that obviously is not acting in good faith, someone that is malevolent, someone that's a fiend basically, someone who either they have mental issues that you know they are acting that way because of their disease, or either, and I saw them, I didn't see many in my career, but some people who are just bad, you know? So then when you see that, and you see that their objective is not really to in any way improve the relationship that you're trying to work on, but actually to destroy it and sabotage the whole thing, then this is when empathy becomes difficult, because especially in a manager standpoint, at some point, you have to make a decision. You have to put your foot down and say, that's enough. And then this is the only time that I would say that I'm using my power in a more direct way to bring the people to a certain point in which they don't have a choice. Either they improve or they correct their behavior, or we'll do what we have to do as an employer. And this the limit to empathy is the capacity of the other person to also put themselves in your shoes, in a way. Because if not, it becomes unidirectional again. It's like you have one side that is throwing empathy at the other, and the other is totally totally closed, doesn't want to collaborate or cooperate in any ways, and doesn't want to open up, doesn't want to show vulnerability. It's the same in negotiations. I'm negotiating with unions, and sometimes it's really hard. You know, they're representing thousands of members, and they have a lot of political pressure and so on. I wouldn't like to be in their shoes. But us as well, as public organizations, we also have limits, you know, in terms of resources. So we have to sit down, and there is this tension and there's fight that's going on at the table, which is normal. But there are many ways to deal with this tension. Either you can deal with it without empathy, and then it's a position bargaining. So you just say no, and the other one says, yes, we want this. And, you know, then there's no real communication. There's no relationship. But should you decide to say, okay, let's try to create this relationship. Let's agree that we will disagree, but do it in a respectful way and really try to understand the other's party position. Even though I don't agree with their position, I'm nonetheless going to listen to all of it, and I'm going to try to see it from their perspective. So after that, when we break from the table and we go, you know, when I go with my team, the negotiation team, or when they go with their negotiation team, they can sit down and they could say, you know, maybe there's value. We don't agree with their general approach to this problem, but there's value in this and this and this item. And we will do the same. And if we come back and we realize that on these items we have a common ground, then this is where empathy helps, because we can start working from there. So it's just a seed that is planted, or a couple, and then it's like water and sun, you know? If the relationship helps, then it will grow, and it will be something totally different than what both parties expected at the beginning. Because we came in with idea A, they had idea B, and then we come out with a totally different idea that maybe Z, that has nothing to do with this. But without empathy, it's impossible. Because it's just log rolling or whatever, you know, exchange of favors and everything. And it doesn't help their relationship. I deal with empathy every second of my day. So for me, I could just tell you what happened today, and then I would have examples. But I'm trying to find one maybe that's meaningful. Let me see. Okay, I'll tell you a story from another place I was working before, and it will show you the non-empathy, but the empathy as well. Okay, so there's two parts of that story. So there was this director. She called me one day and she said, listen, we have a big problem. This guy's always late. He has like a lot of absenteeism problems and so on. And I'm like, okay, so could you just send me like a list of his recent absences in the past 3 months? So she sends me, and I'm like, yeah, that's a problem. It was around 40%. So that's 2 days out of five, you know, for different reasons. Some were justified, some others. So I'm looking at it from a, you know, purely rational perspective. And I'm like, okay, there's a problem there. So let's meet with him. I was new as well at that place, so I didn't know really the culture. And I was still young in my... So I didn't use much empathy. I used my head at that moment. So basically, we have the meeting. I help her writing the disciplinary measure. We meet the person. Everything's perfect on the letter. Here's when you were absent and so on. And then during the meeting, that's when empathy came in. Because I was looking at the guy was a janitor. And he was really tall, like 6'5". You know, he could have crushed me just with one finger. But so... And then I see in his face there's something obviously that's going wrong. There's an internal struggle, and I cannot pinpoint what it is, because at that time, on my left, the director is there, and she's reading the letter. So I have time to observe to see what's going on. And I'm like, something's really wrong. And then he starts crying. But, you know, like sobbing like a kid, like, you know, that kind of. And then it lasted for 3-4 minutes. And then we said, you want us like to leave? You want some time with your union representatives and so on? And he's like, no, I'm going to be fine. And he started telling us that for the past 2 months, he slept on the floor of St. Justin's Hospital. because his firstborn was, you know, on the machine, and every second of the day he was scared of receiving a call saying your son is dead, you know. So he was sleeping there, he was not showering, then in the morning he was, you know, not sleeping really well on the floor, you know, of Saint Justin, which is not too comfortable. Or I suppose he was sitting on these chairs, you know, those 70s kind of chairs, and like fake leather kind of thing. So after that he was coming back in the morning to work an 8-hour, 10-hour shift and going back to Saint-Justin. So we're in the eastern part of Montreal, so that was a lot of traffic and so on. So you can imagine, as you know, the guy was not faking. Obviously, he was struggling. And when you listen to these kind of stories, you understand that it touches something in you. That's the human in you, okay? And you're like, you can totally relate to that story. It's really easy to put yourself in his shoes. You know, you don't have to be, to have a big heart to feel what he's saying. And he was really genuine about it. And the part that is really non-empathetical about this, the director beside me, her reaction was really, really simple. She looked at him and she said, "That's not my problem. You're paid to do a job, just do it. The meeting is over." She slapped the table. She left the room. And I stayed there with these two, with the president of the union and the janitor. So I said to them, "Listen, don't worry about what the director just said." Okay, and that's the empathetic part. As far as human resources is concerned, we'll deal with it within a different way, and we'll try to help you in this. So don't worry about the letter. For us, it doesn't really exist, okay? So, but you can see both sides, and these are extremes. That's why I use that. I have thousands of examples, but these are two extremes. So on one end, you have someone that really reacts without empathy at all. It's just focusing on the problem, saying, "That's not my problem, you know, fix it." Although it's not the guy's fault. He had nothing to do with this. It's something that's uncontrollable. And it's just, you know, it's dying son that's newborn. It's the worst. I think it's the worst reaction I saw in my career, to be honest. I just want to emphasize that. But then that person, also that director, gave me a really, really valuable lesson that changed the way I was dealing with people. You know, it was so shocking to me to see that people could react that way, that I think because of that, I'm kind of a rebel rouser in many ways. So I used that, and it fueled me to never be like her. So I'm really grateful to her, to be honest. Because now, because of that, I think I helped hundreds of people throughout my career by having this mind shift.